Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to be continuing our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking at verse number 16, which says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So we've been looking at the issues of the catching out of the saints, or what's commonly known as the rapture, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we've seen how, as the Lord Jesus Christ is appearing in the air for the members of the body of Christ, that the Apostle Paul identifies that he's coming back with these three things: a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And last week we looked at the issue of the shout and why it is that the scriptures identify that that's what he's coming with. And we're going to pick up here with the issue of the voice of the archangel. And this is an interesting thought that the Apostle Paul is expressing here, because you have individuals who, because they don't understand the Godhead, have a different way of looking at who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And some of them will just say that he's just Michael appearing here on the earth, or that he's some other angelic being that's here, and that's why it's being described as the fact that he's coming with the voice of the archangel. And what we're going to see is that, you know, one, that's truly an attack on who the Lord Jesus Christ is by making that statement, but it's also a completely lack of an understanding of what it is that the scriptures actually say about the Godhead and also the angelic realm. Now, when we look at some things that the author of the book of Hebrews wrote, let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 2 for a moment here. We're going to see a statement written in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 2 verse 9. Which says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." So we see this description talking about his appearance here on the earth, the time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of where he was made a little lower than the angels, so that way they could actually, you know, the angelic realm would see the salvation that was being provided to man by the fact that he came and was that sacrifice to take care of the issue of sin for mankind, to be able to give that ability so man could be reconciled back unto God and have that relationship that was intended from the beginning. We see how, if we turn back a chapter here into chapter number 1 of the book of Hebrews and read verses 13 and 14, that we're going to see a description of the creation of the angelic realm when it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So verse 13 is making a reference to Psalm 110 when it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." So that's God the Father speaking to God the Son in Psalm 110 verse 1. And now you have the author of the book of Hebrews saying, to which of the angels was this said? So making it very clear that it's not an angelic being that is having this said to them. It could only be part of the Godhead that could actually be in that position of sitting on the right hand of God, being part of the plan that the Godhead had from before the foundation of the world. And you see how in verse 14, there's even a description of this issue of, you know, are they not all ministering spirits? So describing that role that the angelic realm had, especially in the relationship with God and the nation of Israel in both time past and the ages to come, that the angelic realm functions in a role of where they're ministering unto the people. We're going to see in a few minutes a verse of where the Apostle Paul talks about how it is that the angelic realm is in relationship to the members of the body of Christ. But we're going to start looking at some other passages that describe the role of the angelic realm here. Let's turn over to Psalm 148. And we're going to see here in this psalm a statement of what it is that the angels are doing. We're going to read the first two verses here of Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. And so we see this statement of the psalmist here talking about how the angelic realm, what they were supposed to be doing, is demonstrating praise unto God. They were supposed to be in this responsibility of the worship of God that comes about through, you know, seeing all of, you know, what the creation had, that the angelic realm would be responsible for not only worshiping and praising God, but you see how that the original purpose for the creation of Satan was that he was actually the one that was going to lead this. And we'll get into that, you know, throughout this look at what the angelic realm is all about. Let's turn over here to the book of Isaiah now. We'll go to Isaiah chapter number 6. And we're going to see in this description here in Isaiah 6, describing a different angelic being, that we're going to see how there's this same aspect of this praise, you know, as you see in verse 1, which says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So here we have these seraphims who are also participating in this issue of this worship with the holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory, and how the angelic realm is carrying about this. And you see, as part of that, then the angelic realm starts to function in the role of whatever God is doing with man. The angelic realm participates in that, matching up with whatever it is God is doing. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 3. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul describing what the angelic realm is doing here. Let's pick up here verse 8 of Ephesians 3. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, the Apostle Paul, as he's speaking about the responsibility that he knew that he had, which was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So, Paul's responsibility was to be going out and preaching the message which had been committed unto him, that gospel for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how belief in that and that alone is what gives someone eternal life today. You know, that's the starting point, the foundation of what everything is built upon. And then from there, preaching the rest of the message, fulfilling what the will of God is, that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And you see how in verse 10, that it's the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So the angelic realm is looking down on us to learn the manifold wisdom of God. They're learning all of the things that had been hidden before the foundation of the world that's now being revealed. The angelic realm learns that by witnessing us seeing the grace of God living out in our lives and seeing the difference between what was given to the nation of Israel and what's been given to us today. They're seeing the long suffering of God. You know, where for Israel that there was the thing of when they did things contrary to what the word of God said, that there was chastisement that immediately happened to them, where, you know, physically they would get sick or they'd have different other things happen to them. Some of them could even lead up to death by breaking the things of the law. And now the angelic realm is seeing none of this actually happening, seeing a whole completely different program going about, and they're learning what that is by watching us. And that's what they're doing. They're observing these things. They're not functioning in the way of what we see. If we go over to 1 Kings chapter number 19, And this is going to be an example of how we see the angelic realm functioning in time past with Israel's program here. And in 1 Kings chapter number 19, we'll start here right at verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And then it's going to continue on talking about what it is that Elijah was doing. But you see how in verses, especially verses 5, 6, and 7 of this passage, that you see this angel is ministering unto Elijah, is helping him to take care of those basic needs that he has. As he's laying down, he's, you know, you could almost say in some ways he's, you know, kind of depressed or worried, you know, based on the fact that Jezebel is saying that she's going to be hunting him down. And this is right after you see the events in, you know, chapter 18 of where he demonstrates the power of God. And yet here he is just lying down and sleeping, and the angel coming to provide these needs for him, so that way he can be able to go out and minister and take care of what it is that God actually intended to have done during this time of dealing with the nation of Israel, the working to establish the kingdom there on the earth. Now, you have this aspect. Let's go over to the book of Daniel. We'll go to Daniel chapter number 10. And we're going to see this description of, you know, Daniel speaking to this individual here. We'll pick up in verse number 8 of Daniel 10. It says, Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And it's going to continue on describing this conversation. But you see how this whole discussion of Michael and the chief princes and the prince of the kingdom of Persia, that's describing the angelic realm and describing things of how, because the focus of, you know, when you're looking at time past, that the focus was on the establishment of the kingdom upon the earth, the hope being the earth, that this is where the angelic realm would have been ministering, helping the nation of Israel when they were faithful to be able to get to the point of where they could be ready to go in to the kingdom. And that's why you see that this angel that's speaking unto Daniel is describing how, you know, when he was trying to come to minister unto him, that there were things that were preventing him from coming to minister unto Daniel at that time because of the battle and the focus of the things on planet Earth. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter number 18. And we're going to just read one verse here in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verse number 10, where it says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." And so, again, we're seeing how even though there is this ministry of these angels taking care of things on the earth, that the angelic realm, their residence is in the heavenly places. You know, that's why you see the thing, if you go back into the book of Job and you see how the angelic realm is coming and presenting themselves to God the Father in the heavenly places, describing what it is that they've been doing. And that's when you start having this discussion of Satan, who comes and does the same thing, comes and carries on a conversation with God the Father. He talks about how he was going to and fro upon the earth, you know, trying to show that he had control over the things on the earth. And then they have this happens twice, Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, and how it describes the angelic realm going, carrying on this conversation so that way they could be able to describe what they're doing, what their functioning is actually all about. Now, we're going to probably be looking at the idea of the angelic realm for probably a few weeks here to kind of get to that conclusion of what it is that the Apostle Paul is saying about the Lord Jesus Christ coming with the voice of the archangel. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.com. www.thebiblecast.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information about how to join our Sunday service and our Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. If you happen to be in the Buffalo area, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York, to just study and fellowship with us, you know, around the Word of God. It would be very beneficial for those who can attend to be able to do so. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone to keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.